Welcome to the No BS Mama Podcast. I'm your host, Megan. I'm married with three kids and found myself stressed, overwhelmed, and lost in motherhood before I gave up the idea of perfection and remembered that my needs are important too. If you're looking for a mom friend who drops F-bombs, loves road trips, and will always hype you up, then I'm your girl. I want to cut through the bullshit and have real conversations about all things mom life. I definitely don't have all the answers, but I am here for you, girl. And I'm bringing in some experts and other moms to help us out too. We know there's no one-size-fits-all solution, so make sure you take what serves you and leave what doesn't. So go ahead and grab that coffee, that glass of wine, or whatever floats your boat, and go hide from those kids while we dive in. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the No BS Mama Podcast. I am thrilled, as always, to have you here. And today, I wanted to just very simply remind you that we are all out here just doing our best, and there is quite literally no handbook. There is no handbook or guidebook or rule book for motherhood, and we are all just out here learning as we go, doing the best that we can. And I know that, you know, in the newer stage or like the infant stage or even the toddler phase, that is like a widely accepted idea. But sometimes as our kids get older, we kind of feel like we should have this figured out by now, or like we should have the answers, or we should always know what to do, or we should always know what's best. And the reality is that that's just not possible. In my experience, first of all, I know I say this all the time, but no one family is the same. So what works in my house might not work in your house. What works in your house might not work in my house, right? But also, no two kids are alike. And especially if you have several children, you know that this is true, right? So they might be similar. They might have a lot of similarities, but they're not exactly the same, right? So what works for one kid, or what was true for one kid, might not work or might not be true for a second kid, a third kid, a fourth kid, etc., right? And when we are presented with that reality, it can be really defeating. Like, you're looking at the situation like, what the fuck? Why didn't I know that? Or why wasn't I on top of that? Or why wasn't I ahead of that? And you kind of play that, like you go down that spiral, and it doesn't do anybody any good to do that. All that does really is make you feel like a bad mom. Like, that's giving your brain the opportunity to go out and search for evidence of all the reasons why that is true, right? Because our brain is like an investigator. It wants to, it's like a problem solver, and it wants to like bring to light the things that you are thinking about or the things that you are looking for. And this is not just like my opinion. This is scientific. I don't know exactly the study, or I would link it. But it's the analogy used widely is like, if you get a new car today, right? All of a sudden you see that car everywhere, right? Whereas yesterday you knew that car existed, obviously, and you saw it sometimes, but now that it's on your mind as something that either that you want, you've decided you're going to get this car, or you already got this car, now you see that car everywhere. It's probably even in the same color, right? It's just because it's on your mind now. Those cars were always there before. It's just that now your brain is looking for it because it's on your mind, right? And so the more that we put that idea in our head that we're not a good mom, the more our brain is going to be looking for evidence to support that thought in your brain. So we definitely want to avoid that at all costs. And so going back to that, the original conversation about it being, you know, kind of like widely accepted in like the baby stage, especially the infant stage, but like pretty much throughout the baby stage and into toddlerhood, like, you're new at this, right? And at some point, there's like a switch in our brain that says, like, we've been doing this for a long time. Like, we should know this by now. But the reality is, like, you've never had a 5-year-old before, or you've never had a 10-year-old, or you never had a 15-year-old, or an 18-year-old, or a 25-year-old. So you're just as new at this as your child, right? And there's something to be said for that. And with each stage of childhood and development and different situations, like, there's things that, again, like, we're presented with situations where we're looking at it and we're like, fuck, man, why didn't I think of that? Or why didn't I know that? Or how was I supposed to know that even, right? Some examples that have been coming up for us recently are, and again, my kids are older. If you're new here, I have a 17-year-old. He is a senior in high school. He is going off to college in the fall. I have a 13-year-old. He is a 7th grader. So he's in middle school. And then I have an 11-year-old in 6th grade. She is also in middle school. So we have transitioned from the elementary phase into the middle school, high school, and now nearing the college phase. And so by now you would think, like, oh, I'm a seasoned mom. Like, I know how to be a mom now. But again, the reality is I don't. Like, this is all still new to me. And, you know, I was having a conversation with some moms probably, was it this time last year, maybe? Maybe it was like more closer, like into the summer. The kids were all at a play date. My daughter's in the Spanish immersion program, and we were transitioning from elementary school to middle school. And there are all of these new opportunities in middle school, right? That aren't available to you in elementary school. Things like different clubs you can be involved in, National Honor Society, like Junior National Honor Society, advanced classes, like all of these things, right? And the schools probably do communicate this shit to you at some point, but I don't know about you, but I get so many emails from my school and my district. It is impossible to read them all. I would literally need to hire someone to read them all and then, like, give me the rundown of the important shit that I actually needed to know. So if you are a teacher and you're emailing me directly, I skim through it, first of all, to determine if it is a personal email to me or if it is a general email to the class. And then from there, I decide how important this email is to me. If it is an email from the school, like the individual school, I will read through it-ish, like skim through it and like pick out the highlights for myself and determine like what I want to commit to my tiny little brain and what can like ooze right on out and never to be thought of again, right? And if it's from my district, it's even less of a priority because I assume that eventually the email will come from either my kid's school or my kid's teacher because that's also what happens. It's like information overload. You get the same information from the district and then you get another one from the school and then you get another one from the teacher. So it's like, not only are you getting so much information, it's duplicative. So anyway, I'm just going off on a tangent that's really not even related. And I could make the time and I probably should make the time to like thoroughly read all of this communication, but I don't. So here we are. But one of the moms in this play group was like talking about, you know, the advanced math, I think it was. And she was like, well, how do you get your kid into that? Or like, how did you know about that? Like, no one told me about that. How are we supposed to know that we should be like open to these options or like looking for them? And I was kind of like on the outskirts of the conversation. But I knew what this other mom was talking about because I already had a 7th grader, right? If Katie had not had two older brothers, I would be in the same boat as this other mom who was there with her oldest child. And she's there like lost in the middle school abyss. Like, what the fuck? Like, how am I supposed to know all of this stuff? Like, what am I supposed to do? What's the best for my kid? Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know unless you are either, you either have older children, you are very close friends with other people who have older children who have shared this information with you, or you work within the school district somewhere, right? That's really the only, you learn as you go. Like, this is your first rodeo, sweetheart. This is how it goes. That's just how it is. And we had, a wrestling banquet for Timmy, my oldest, and he was nominated to receive, a scholarship award through this banquet and this, this organization, this wrestling organization. And he fills out the application and we're all excited. We're like, oh my God, this would be so great if you would get the scholarship. You know, he's got good grades. He was a good, like a really good wrestler. He's going to school for, to wrestle and to be a nurse. Like, we're checking a lot of boxes here, right? We're really excited. And we get there and they're giving out the scholarships and these kids, like, I think my kid is very special. Do not get me wrong. I think that he is the most incredible kid on the planet, but I'm biased. I'm his mother, right? We're listening to these kids, and not only do they have fantastic grades, not only are they amazing wrestlers, but they also are like the president of their class and, you know, involved in like four different volunteering organizations, and they do all of these other extracurricular things. And those are the kids that got the scholarships. And, you know, we're not salty about not getting a scholarship. Like, obviously, these kids were very, very deserving of the scholarships. But I'm sitting in that audience like, Megan, you are a dumbass. Like, you know that volunteering is a very important thing when it comes to, like, scholarship awards. You know that. You just didn't pull it out of the very back bottom corner of your brain. And now look, you fucked your kid over for the opportunity for a scholarship because you didn't like push him to go do volunteer work. And like, I kind of went down that hole of like, Jesus, how stupid could I be? Like, I know these things. And kind of feeling like we robbed him of an opportunity and like we should have known better and all of these things. And I kind of went down that spiral with my husband, Drew, and he was like, Megan, he has a lot of opportunities. Like, we have provided him with a lot of opportunities. And, you know, should we maybe volunteer more just in general as a family? Yes. And that is going on our list of things that we're going to be doing from now on. But the reality is, when you are the oldest child, you are the experiment. Sorry, I'm an oldest child. I know, like, it sucks sometimes, but your parents, this is the first time that they're doing everything it is that you're doing. And so they're learning along the way. And when mistakes are made, or when you're behind the eight ball, or you don't like act on something in time, or you just don't know, like even in the toddler stages, like how the hell are you supposed to know the developmental milestones, or if your kid is meeting like certain targets, or if certain behaviors are warning signs for things? Like, you, how the hell would you know that? You didn't go to school to be a pediatrician or a child psychologist, right? But so many times I hear moms come out of these appointments with like behavior specialists or pediatricians, and they're like, I thought this was normal, and they beat themselves up, and it's like, how the hell would you know? You wouldn't know. You only know what you've been exposed to, right? It's not your fault. It's not your fault. And you're not a bad mom. And you're not putting your kid at a disadvantage. Like, there's a difference between like not knowing the information and like learning as you go and being neglectful, right? And I'm assuming if you are listening to podcasts and like reading parenting books, and talking to other parents about their experience, you probably don't fall into that category of a neglectful parent, right? And again, I'm not a professional. All of this is just from my experience and my opinion based on my experience. But I just wanted to remind you that there's no handbook. Like, this information is not readily available in some single source for you. And that's why, like, part of the reason why I started the podcast and a big part of the reason why I started to bring on guest interviews, because I know I'm not the expert. And I know that my experience is from a data point of one, right? And so I want to bring you the experts or people that have different backgrounds and experiences so that this platform can be a place where you learn some of these things, maybe proactively, maybe ahead of time, maybe just in time, or maybe you just feel validated after the fact, right? But either way, there is no single source of truth when it comes to like the world of parenting and how things are done and what the best way is for your specific case, right? Even if someone did write a book or create a YouTube channel or start a podcast or whatever, all of that information would still not totally be applicable to you and your situation and your kids, right? So use the resources that you have available to you. Read books, listen to podcasts, talk to your pediatrician, talk to your kids' teachers. Do all of those things. I'm sure you're doing them anyway, right? Be a present parent, have open conversations with your kids, and that's really all that they need. Everything else will fall into place and everything else will eventually work itself out. We are all going to make mistakes along the way. No one is perfect and everyone is missing some sort of critical key piece of information that is going to impact their child or their children at one point or another. So you are not alone in that. If you're feeling like, if you're in a situation either now or in the past, or if you're walking into a situation that you don't know about somewhere in your future, I hope that you remember this. I hope that you remember that, again, I'm like beating it to death, but there is no handbook. There is nowhere that exists that you can go to get all of the correct answers. Like, this is not a test that you can ace. This is an experiment. This is a trial and error. This is a have patience and learn as you go type of situation. And that is very frustrating for some of us, right? Because we want the right answers. We want the best outcome every single time. And that's just not what this journey is about. It's just not, and I wish it was. I really do, but it's just not, right? So don't be too hard on yourself, okay? That's all I have for you today. Until next time.
Hey, babe.
Mom.
Shit, you guys, I gotta go. I really hope you loved today's episode. If you did, it would really mean the world to me if you would share it with a mom like us so she doesn't feel so alone either. And if you're not already in our free Facebook community, girl, what are you waiting for? I promise it just takes 2 seconds. You don't even have to search for it. Just go ahead and click the link right here in the show notes. Until next time, try to remember to do something that's just for you this week.